We are in week five of the series called 10 Words. In Exodus chapter 20, it says that God gave Moses these words. He spoke all of these words, and it was the 10 commandments, therefore the 10 words. And if you remember, we are looking at what we find in Exodus 20, and then we're also looking at the companion or corresponding passages that we find in the New Testament, because we realize that what we find in the Old Testament, we still see in the New Testament. And it's just a reminder to us that God's way of living still applies for us today. I don't know if you were here. If you were, maybe you remember that when we started, and we started when we looked at the first commandment, and then we looked at, in the New Testament, what Jesus had to say. And Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? What's the highlight, if you could give us that? And he said very simply, the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like it. He didn't even take a pause. He included that in love others, love those around you. And so we find this kind of this phrase, love God, love others. But we observed then that the Ten Commandments really had to do with relationships. The first four having to deal with how we relate to God, what's our relationship with God look like, and then the next six with our relationship with others. And so last week we finished the first four, and now we're kind of transitioning into the commandments that deal with our relationship with others. So if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up at verse 12. There's only two places that I'll have us look today, here in Exodus 20 and then in Ephesians in the New Testament in just a few moments. So in Exodus 20, verse 12, we find these words, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Seems like a very straightforward command, and you may be tempted to think, this one's for the kids, right? This one's for the kids, but let me challenge that thought. This command isn't just for children. Notice it doesn't say, hey, obey your parents until you're 18. Then all bets are off. That's not what it says. It says what? Honor your father and mother. And one of the things we need to recognize is that obedience, most of the time, is action or action-oriented, and honor is more about attitude. It's more about mindset. Obedience may end when you move out, but honor never does. It's a lifelong posture that we should have. And here's why. Honor is less about the other person and more about who you are becoming. It's about your character. Let me say that again. Honor is less about the other person and more about who you are becoming. Often, Tina and I are meeting with couples and we're talking about the role of a husband and a wife, especially in premarital counseling, sometimes marital counseling, and we talk about the commitment to be a godly husband, the commitment to be a godly wife, and we sometimes need to remind ourselves, don't we, that my commitment to be a godly husband is not a commitment that I make first and foremost to my spouse, but it's a commitment I make first and foremost to God. Because if it's based on my spouse, I can find excuses, right? Well, I mean, you're having a bad day. You're making me have a bad day. You know, whatever the excuse may be. We used to, you know, we used to enjoy a lot of stuff together. Now we're not doing stuff together. Well, does that excuse me from being the husband God's called me to be the spouse God's called me to be? And just like the commitment to be a godly spouse in that relationship, the commitment to honor is less about the other person and more about who I am becoming and what God is doing in my life. You know, it's no coincidence that God, when giving the commandments about others, here we're starting, how do we relate to others, starts with family. He doesn't start with government or temple regulations or any of that stuff. He starts with family. Why is that? Well, I think it's because family is foundational to a healthy and well-ordered society, group of people. The first thing God instituted, that God established, we see in Scripture, is Adam and Eve and children. It was family. That's the first institution we see in Scripture. No wonder God begins on how we are to relate to others with the context of family. It's foundational. And at the very heart of that design is honor. Let's be honest, that's a principle that's foreign to many today, the idea of honoring other people. We live in such a me-first society. What about me? I've got to get ahead. It's about what I want, what I desire. The idea of honor can be lost today for sure. But what if this command is bigger than we think? What if honor actually shapes how we relate to every person in our lives, not just our parents? See, I don't think God's just trying to preserve family order. I think he's forming each of us and our character. Well, what does honor actually mean then? Well, the original language is the word kabad, and it literally means to give weight to. To give significance to treat with significance. This isn't, by the way, about when someone deserves it. Let's be honest. Not every parent acts honorably. If we're really honest, some of us grew up in homes that were dysfunctional, maybe absent, even abusive. What do we do in those situations? Well, we'll talk about that more practically in just a few minutes. But honor does not mean that I agree or approve. Honoring does not mean I agree or approve. In fact, honor is not earned, it is given. It's not earned, it's given. To give weight to is what it literally means, to treat with significance. You don't honor someone because of their perfection. You honor because God says honor matters to him. Just like as a husband, I don't love, respect, all the things that I'm called to do as a husband because my wife always deserves that, always acts respectable. She doesn't respect me because I'm always acting respectably. We're imperfect people trying to have a perfect relationship. But God says this is something first and foremost between you and I. It's not based on the other person. God doesn't say honor them because they're perfect. And when we do that, what we're really doing is we're saying, God, I trust your design in relationship more than I trust my feelings at the moment. And sometimes that's hard to do because sometimes the feelings we have at the moment are the strongest thing we see and feel in the moment. It's interesting, isn't it? Perspective, though, is important. Someone once said that they were amazed at how much their parents learned in such a short amount of time. Because at 16, their parents didn't know a thing. But when they turned 22, it seemed like their parents had all the right answers. Maturity brings perspective, doesn't it? Yeah. Maturity brings perspective. And so when Scripture says, honor your father and mother, what does this actually look like in real life? How do I apply this principle as I live my life? Steve, if this is not just something for those that are 18 and under while they're under their parents' roof, if honor is something that goes beyond just those first 18 years, what does this actually look like? Well, let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, you might say, well, no, hold on a second. It sounds like you're actually reinforcing the thing that you said is not what honor is. But I think we'll see some important dynamics here. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there's the instruction that Paul gives to children, obeying your parents. And obedience is a command we see here in Ephesians, and specifically for children. And then in verse 2, it references back to what we just read in Exodus. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It references back to that which we just read, and we said that honor is not simply obey till I'm 18, but here we see children obey your parents in the Lord. So what's the point? Well, there is a connection with obedience and honor. There is a connection with obedience and honor. If I'm giving weight to what my parents are telling me, then obedience becomes part of the equation, doesn't it? But would you agree that I can obey without honoring? Yeah. Can I disobey and still honor? I'm going to say yes. There's a connection, but there's not an equality. Obedience doesn't equal honor, but they certainly are connected. And it's not saying obey, you know, if it's convenient for you, or, you know, if you obey if you like what they're telling you, or obey if you agree with that. Obeying the Lord reminds us that phrase, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul's saying it's a right thing to do. It's a right response to our parents. And obeying the Lord reminds us that Christian obedience is rooted in our relationship to Jesus. So what about obeying and not honoring? Well, I can obey kicking and screaming. I can have a lot of tone, a lot of attitude, a lot of chirping, and still obey. But that's not honoring. Right? Those of you that are still under your parents' roofs, that might sound familiar to you. So what's the responsibility? And here's really the question. What's the responsibility of a child if the parents are dropping the ball? That's always the question I had in youth ministry. Pastor Steve, I know it says that we should obey our parents, but my parents, X, Y, Z. What if it's something that's immoral? What if it's illegal? What do we do then? How do I actually live out what Scripture is telling me? Well, let me just say that I believe principally and biblically that God is the ultimate authority. And we don't break God's laws in order to keep others' laws. That would bring dishonor to the family. Several years ago, I was still in youth ministry. I was more than several, I guess. A lot of years ago. And our youth ministry was doing really well. It was reaching kids in the community, kids that families didn't go to our church, families didn't go to church at all. But there were some really cool things we were seeing God do. And this one guy in particular started coming to high school youth group, put his faith in the Lord, was growing, and his name was Mike. That's a generic enough name, but that actually was his name. It's not like the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Right? It's actually his name, Mike. Very intelligent person. I think today he's like a physio-science neuro-rocket dude. Something that I can't even figure out. Super smart individual. And was really diving into understanding God's word, understanding his relationship with the Lord. He came to me one day, and I could tell he was upset. I said, Mike, what's going on? And he said, well, my mom's an atheist. She really doesn't like what's going on in my life because I'm telling her what's going on. And she has forbid me to have a Bible in the house. What should I do? And I said, well, I don't know about what you should do, but I know I need to go pray. Now, that's a tough question, right? What do you do? Mom says, you cannot have a Bible in this house. In other words, you can't own a Bible. I said, well, Mike, what do you think your options are? And he said, well, like, I know I need to love my mom and honor her. I don't want to throw anything in her face. Maybe I could just keep my Bible in my locker at school. I could study it there. Maybe I could memorize scripture. I could write myself some notes that have scripture on it. I said, Mike, that's a great idea. Do you feel like you're disobeying your mom if you do that? He said, no, I don't. Do you feel like you're honoring your mom if you do that? He said, yeah, I feel like I am. So it doesn't create a tension between your relationship with God and your relationship with your mom. And he said this, well, there's already tension there. But I don't think this adds to it. I'm going to honor her wishes, but I'm still going to pursue God. So you can honor. Now, whether she would have said, well, I don't want you having a Bible in school either. She said he was still allowed to come to youth group, still allowed to engage in Bible study. She just didn't want the Bible in her house. Now, you may have an opinion about that situation. I'll give you my opinion. Mike did the right thing. Mike did the right thing. Not having a physical Bible in his house didn't necessarily hinder his relationship with God. She wasn't telling him he couldn't believe in God. But on the surface, most of us would say, well, she's dropping the ball there. He shouldn't have to obey that. But how could he, let's not worry about obey or disobey, let's talk about honor. Did he honor her? I believe he did. But that's a difficult question. What do we do when parents are dropping the ball? I believe God's the ultimate authority. And so as best we can, we obey God and honor those around us. But we don't break others' laws. We don't break God's laws in order to keep others. God's law comes first. And as I say that, I don't say that as a blanket statement, but I say that as a guiding statement, knowing that each specific instance might require a very specific conversation. And so if you have something that you're dealing with and you say, I'm not sure how to resolve this, then let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation. How can you honor parents and still not disobey God? How about as adults, though? Steve, if you say honor is a lifelong posture, what does that look like as an adult? How do I honor my parents as an adult? Well, as I said earlier, some of us look back and we see something that is not exactly what we wanted or hoped to have happened. Sometimes honoring means forgiveness. Maybe it's not forgiveness that's expressed in the relationship with the other person, but maybe it's forgiveness that you have in your heart, first and foremost, so that your posture towards that person is not one of revenge, but forgiveness. It might mean remembering and choosing to focus on the good, no matter how small that sample may be. It might mean a phone call, a visit, a thank you. It might mean providing care, protecting dignity. It might be refusing to trash talk them, even though others are. You've been in some of those family gatherings, right? You know, I said at the beginning of this message that it's easy to dismiss this and say, oh, this one's for the kids. But maybe we're realizing this command is more significant than we might think at first, because it's about our own character, what God's doing in us. Honor doesn't mean ignoring reality, by the way. It doesn't mean pretending that they or everything was always perfect, but it does mean choosing to see their humanity and treating them with the dignity that God gives to all people. In some ways, it's choosing to look at that person or those folks with all of their imperfections through the lens that God sees them, as someone created in his image, whom he loves, whom he died for. But let's be honest, none of us have kept this command perfectly, have we? Not one of us. Because some of us carry regret for how we treated our parents. Others still carry wounds from how they treated us. But here's the good news, the gospel, the good news. There is one son who always honored his father, who specifically obeyed fully, even to the point of death. Jesus Christ, the perfect son, took on our disobedience, bore our shame, and offers us his righteousness. And a truth that many of you have already experienced and others are still waiting to is that through him, even broken families can be healed and rebellious hearts can be made new. Oh, and let's not forget the promise. This is a command that comes with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. But this isn't really just about long life. It's about a different word, legacy. This is about legacy. God is saying, if you learn to honor the people that I've placed in your life, oftentimes above you, you'll create a culture that's healthy, stable, and life-giving. Remember, when God chose to give instructions about how we relate to others, after he gave the four instructions about how we are to relate to him, he began here with family, with honoring those God has put in our lives. If we can learn to honor people, we create a culture that's healthy, stable, life-giving, and that begins at home with the family. As we said earlier, family is foundational. And in a society where honor's lost, quite honestly, relationships unravel. Relationships unravel when we fail to honor each other, to give weight, to give significance to each other. But in a society, a culture, a group of people where honor is practiced, generations flourish. Some of us could recount that experientially. Others of us need to consider trusting God at his word. So, what does that look like, kids? Obey your parents. Honor them. Give weight to that relationship in your life. As adults, we continue to honor those in our lives. We give weight to them. We give significance to them. And for many of us in this room, we have aging parents. What do we do then? Well, we continue. We continue. It may look different applicationally, but the posture remains the same. The attitude remains the same. And so early on, it may look like obedience, partnership. And in our latter days, it may look more like forgiveness, providing care, protecting dignity. And I know for many of us here today, because I've walked some of those roads with you, that you're doing that. It's your goal to do that. And I think God's pleased with that. So the question to wrestle with today maybe is this: who do I need to honor in my life, or maybe start honoring or continue honoring or consider how I am honoring? Maybe it's a parent, parental figure. Maybe it's a teacher, a leader, a boss of some sort. Maybe it's someone who will never know that you're honoring them, but you do it anyway because it's who you are becoming. And as I said earlier, honor isn't about them. It isn't about their character. It's really about yours. It's really about my character. Do I choose to honor those, mom and dad, but others in my life? It's about my character. And as we said earlier, honor's not earned, it's given. And when you give it, you grow. When you give honor, you grow because you're doing things God's way. I mentioned earlier that where honor is practiced, generations flourish. Boy, that's such a true principle. And generational obedience and blessing is a theme throughout Scripture. I think it's what we desire in our homes and our families and our relationships one with another. And I think it's such a fitting way for us to collectively finish our time this morning singing about that, a song that many have come to love. When we were in Latvia a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go to a large worship service after our training together. And this song was sung in Latvian, and I was singing in English, and then we got to the chorus, and it all, you know, you get to the amen part, and you're just all one voice. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of what God desires his body to look like. Singing about the gospel from generation to generation and God's blessing from generation to generation. I think that's the promise. This command that comes with the promise, I think that's the promise. So we honor our fathers and our mothers, those God puts in our lives, because it's about what he's doing in us. I pray that he's doing that work in you this morning. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to consider your word this morning, to consider your instruction, your direction, your command for us, beginning in this most foundational of institutions, the family. And the idea of honoring, not just obeying, but honoring the posture that we have toward those that you put in our lives. Lord, may you be developing our character so that we are people of honor. And in doing so, we fulfill what you have asked of us, what you have invited us into as your followers. Jesus, you set the example for us. Not only did you obey, but you honored your Father at every turn. May it be our desire to do that as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.